Heavenly Father, Lordy King, I praise you, Lord, and I thank you so much that you've given me the opportunity to still be here to be a messenger for the congregation. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. Won't be any scripture verses listed today because I wasn't really supposed to be giving the message today. It was what Rabbi Mark had an important message to give, but unfortunately he got sick and I didn't have enough time to switch all the scriptures around. If anyone wants the scriptures that I'm using today, you can ask me. I can email you a document with the scriptures. So today I'm going to be finishing the message that I gave last week entitled, It's a Wonderful Life. And although I still go through trials and struggles, it truly is a wonderful life, and I truly do have a wonderful wife. As Rabbi Mark has stated, miracles occur daily, but most of us don't recognize them for what they are, miracles. And I am blessed to be able to stand here today as one of Adonai's miracles. If Satan had his way, I would not be here today to give this testimony, to praise Adonai, and to proclaim his glory. Praise you, Lord, because you are so awesome. Last week, I quoted the scripture, Matthew 22, verses 37 to 40, where Yeshua says, you're to love Adonai, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah or commandment. And a second is similar to it, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And all of the Torah and the prophets are dependent upon these two mitzvah. These are the two greatest commandments, but they go both ways. Meaning, we're supposed to love Adonai, our God, with all our heart, soul, and might. And Adonai loves us with all his heart, soul, and might. We're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And our neighbors are supposed to love us as themselves. Our Heavenly Father loves us with all his heart, soul, and strength without expecting being loved in return. Agape love, unconditional love. And we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves without expecting being loved in return as well. Agape love, unconditional love. This is important to remember always, and this is the heart of this message, that not only do we love God and love others, but God loves us and others love us. We love because he first loved us, from 1 John verse chapter 4, verse 19. Satan is actually trying to murder us, not kill us. Satan attempted to murder me not just once, but twice, which glorified God and resulted in multiple miracles to occur. Praise God and hallelujah that I'm here today to give this message to let you know all the miracles that he's done to allow me to be here to give this message. So last week I left off with the surgeon telling Amanda that if I survived, and he emphasized if I survived, that I would be in the hospital for several weeks. Several weeks. He said I was a very sick man. Satan's first attempt at murdering me was when I had the heart attack, and it followed by open heart surgery. It's miracles number 2 and 3 because I survived both open heart surgeries. I had to go back the next day. I had open heart surgery on a Thursday. I had to go back on Friday because I had internal bleeding, which I believe the Lord healed before I got into surgery because they didn't find anything. They just cleaned out whatever blood was left in there. This is his second, Satan's second attempt at murder was the next day, Friday the 20th. And God said no to Satan. You will not take his life at this time. I survived the surgery because Adonai says in Exodus 15:26, because I am Adonai, your healer. He healed me. He saved me. But I need to go back a little bit to the first miracle. And I give my wife, Amanda, a lot of credit for being a strong woman and being strong in her faith in God. Because you see, while I was in the catheterization lab that Thursday, Amanda was sitting in the emergency room by herself going through all this, not knowing what is going on with me. Because from the minute the ambulance came and picked me up, things happened very quickly. Rabbi Mark and Rabbitson Rangina or anybody else didn't have a chance to get there to be with her yet. But the Lord was in control. Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, I will never fail or abandon you. Which is quoting Deuteronomy 13, 6, which states, be strong, be bold, don't be afraid or frightened of them, for Adonai your God is going with you. He will never fail nor abandon you. Go figure, a new covenant scripture quoting the Hebrew covenant scripture. I guess that is why one book, this is all one book and it cannot be separated. But anyway, God will not fail nor abandon you. His love never fails, ever. So as Amanda was telling me, she was in the ER waiting by herself. And the Lord sends two women, complete strangers, to comfort her at that period when she was by herself waiting to find what was happening to me. They really didn't do much but listen to Amanda. But the Holy Spirit ministered to Amanda through these women until Rabbi Mark, Rabbitson Rangina, Kathy Joe, and Elder Lee, and others came to get to be with her at that time. That was the first of several miracles. So let's go back to the second surgery. In that surgery, the surgeons put a portable heart pump inside of me, and that was helping my heart pump for me. But as many of you heard from Rabbi Mark that morning of the 21st, and I only know this from watching the video, that I was going back into the operating room to have that pump removed. And according to the surgeon, he wasn't really sure if I was going to start, my heart was going to start pumping on its own. That was miracle number 4. My heart was pumping without the assistance of the mechanical pump. That afternoon, I was taken off sedation. That afternoon, I was talking to Amanda, I was talking to Rabbi Mark, and I was talking to Rabbits and Regina. I may have talked to other people that day, I'm not sure because I was still really groggy from the medication. So the next day, Sunday the 22nd, it was just 2 days after that second surgery. In the morning, a man who introduced himself as Joe, as a cardiac rehabilitation therapist, comes into the room. He said, okay, we're going to go for a walk. I was stunned and a bit nervous. I just looked at him like, are you crazy? You want me to do what? I don't want to get out of this bed. But 3 days after surgery with all kinds of tubes and wires sticking out of me. He wanted me to take a walk, and I did. I walked 50 feet, but it was really tiring afterwards. And then he came back the afternoon, and we did it again. And the interesting thing about Joe was that after we got to talking, turns out he's related to people I knew from my days at Lehigh in high school as an athletic trainer. Turns out the varsity basketball coach was his cousin. And he asked his cousin if he remembered me. But he didn't seem to remember me, but I told Joe to let him know that it was Trainer Dan. Once he told it was Trainer Dan, he remembered me right away and had good memories of me and made me feel better about whether or not what I do matters, because it does. Each day in the hospital, I kept hearing from the Lord in the early mornings. They kept getting stronger and feeling better each day. So on Tuesday the 24th, which was 4 days after the surgery, second surgery, I was given an echocardiogram. An echocardiogram is, they use sound waves, and that the sound bounces off the structures of your heart and gives a picture of what your heart looks like. And one of those things that it shows is the cardiac output, which tells you how much blood your body is pumping. And if you remember, just before the first open heart surgery, they told Amanda that my heart was only pumping at 35% and that the normal range is 55 to 70%. That's why they didn't think I was going to make it. But the echocardiogram that they did showed that my heart was pumping at 55%, which is the lower range of normal, just 4 days after surgery. 4 days earlier, I wasn't expected to survive, and 3 days earlier, they were not sure my heart could pump on its own. Now my heart is pumping within the normal range. And I consider that a miracle. I was expected to die, and now my heart is pumping in the normal range. Every day, Joe, the cardiac rehab therapist, came in and took me for walks. On Tuesday morning, he started talking to me about a possible discharge on Wednesday. Well, I said to him, if I go home, I got to make sure I can go up and down stairs, because I go up in my bedroom, I have to climb stairs. So he took me down the hall, but instead of using those little wooden rehab steps, which is only like one or two steps, he took me out into the stairway going from floor to floor and said, climb that flight of stairs and come back down. I was a little hesitant at first. It's like, that's a lot of stairs, at least to me at that time. But I know I had to do it in order for me to be able to go home. So I was able to do it without really struggling. I was tired after I did it, but I didn't have to struggle. He didn't have to help me. 4 days after the second surgery, and I'm climbing up and down the flight of stairs. Can you all say God's miracle? Now, Joe wasn't the only cardiac rehab technician that worked with me. Again, this is what the Lord was showing me about how I have a wonderful life. Because Tuesday afternoon, a different therapist by the name of Nick came in and took care of me. This young man came in the room and he looked at me and he just smiled. He said, "You don't remember me, do you?" I just looked at him, "No." He told me his name was Nick Hoster and he played football for me when he was in middle school up in Lehighton. He remembered that I took care of him the one time. He began to relate the story of how he had broken a finger during football practice, but he didn't tell me until the next day. Apparently, I was upset and yelled at him because he didn't tell me right away, because I could have got him in to see a doctor that afternoon. But he remembered how much I cared about him and about his health. And the Lord spoke to me after that. He said, "See, what you do for me and for others matters and makes a difference." That moment was one of many overwhelming moments as the Lord continued to show me that I have a wonderful life. I struggled, as I said, the first message, I struggle sometimes in whether or not I make a difference in this world. This boy, this man, showed me that I did make a difference when I didn't think so. He actually started showing me pictures of his wife and his little baby daughter. So on Wednesday, I was transferred. Again, another miracle. I was transferred from the open heart unit to the transitional unit. I was drug graded. It was becoming less serious. I was only 6 days after the second surgery, and I was being transferred to a transitional unit. My heart was pumping at 55% capacity, which is normal, and I could walk up and down a flight of stairs. 6 days after the surgery that I wasn't supposed to survive. So this day, day six, at lunchtime, it was Wednesday. So the next day, which was a Thursday, which was 1 week from the first surgery and 6 days from the second surgery. At lunchtime, I was discharged from the hospital with a 10-pound lifting restriction and no driving until I see the surgeon again. I go from not surviving and having to spend several weeks in the hospital to being discharged within 6 days of the second surgery. That is unbelievable. Our God, Yeshua, is an awesome God. Not by might nor by power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's from Zechariah 4:6. I went from probably not surviving or spending several weeks in the hospital to a normal pumping heart and going home after only 1 week. Praise the Lord, because this is definitely a miracle. But the miracles continued even after I was discharged. The Sunday after I was discharged was beginning of the holy days, Yom Teruah. I was here for all the holy days. I was tired that Sunday. And Carlos, my brother, freaked me out because he came and gave me a big bear hug. And I, at that time, I was still tender and I was afraid that. If any of you people know, when you have open heart surgery, they have to cut your sternum in half, your breastbone in half, open up. so it still wasn't healed. And the thought of Carlos giving me a big bear hug kind of freaked me out. Unfortunately, he didn't know, and it kind of scared him too. But I was still here to celebrate the holy days. And the Lord continues to speak to me, showing me it's a wonderful life that I have. The Lord also blessed me with Amanda. First of all, Amanda faints at the sight of blood, except for mine. She doesn't faint when she sees my blood. Now you might think that's kind of, you know, not too good, but it is good. Because this allowed her to take care of me. She did all the cleaning up and bandaging of my wounds, of which there was quite a few. I was given home nursing care, and the Lord blessed us with a woman that was a believer, and she did a wonderful job. But because of how well Amanda took care of me, the nurse discharged me about a week or a week and a half earlier than expected. 2 weeks after discharge from the hospital, I was discharged from the cardiothoracic surgeon. I was told to follow the 10-pound weight restriction for until 12 weeks after surgery, which has since passed. I just passed my 14th week. I don't have any restrictions anymore from the cardiothoracic surgeon. I'd actually asked if I go back to weight training, if I could do powerlifting, and they said yes. That's pretty miraculous in itself, to be able to do powerlifting after you have open heart surgery. I went through several weeks of cardio rehabilitation, and I was discharged. I now am going to the gym, doing weight training with dumbbells and about 45 minutes of cardiovascular exercise. So a little over 3 weeks after my second surgery, I saw the cardiology nurse practitioner. She just sat there and looked at me. She said, "You know, you look a lot worse on paper than you do in person." 12 weeks after surgery, and the cardiologist told me I have a normal functioning heart. But these are just snapshots of the miracles that the Lord has done for me. I may have missed many things because there's a lot of things I don't remember, a lot of things I don't want to remember. And yes, all these things are God's miracles, but there were also answers to prayers. Remember, I said we're supposed to love our neighbors as ourselves without expecting being loved in return. James 5:16b says, pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I know in my heart for a fact that the prayer of Erwin brought to the heart of Adonai, as well as played a part in my life being saved and the miraculous healing that I've gone through. I know people here prayed. Some of you have prayed at every meal. I know people are continuing to pray for me. Amanda told me that during my surgery in the waiting room, it was filled mostly with people who were there for me. My mother told me that there was about 100 people that contacted her on instant message about me, saying that they were praying for me, and she didn't know most of those people. So I know that I'm loved by other people. I have a wonderful life. But the effects of this unexpected trauma has some unexpected effects on me. In the past, I haven't had problems with getting shots or getting my blood drawn since I was a little boy. In the military, I used to allow people to practice starting IVs and drawing blood on me just so that they have someone to practice on. But after this experience, I get anxious about those things. Because just after I got discharged, I had to go to the VA to get blood work done. It was a little hard to get. Excuse me. It's just hard because of all the tubes and the wires that were stuck into me. Thank you. And every day it was a constant taking things out and drawing blood. But the first time that I was able to take a shower in the hospital brought an unusual reaction in me. It was the first time I saw myself in the mirror without a shirt. I experienced what may be described as an overwhelming sadness mixed with horror of all the scars that I saw. I kind of lost it, like I'm doing now, just start sobbing, because this is not my body. Again, Amanda was there to comfort me as she helped me take the shower. But we had to wait a little bit until I could get myself under control. We must all realize that we can't always do everything on our own. Sometimes we need help. It's one of the things I struggled with. In the case of the Lord, we always need his help. We forget that, or we ignore that we're lost. Amanda started playing praise and worship music on her phone. And between Amanda's comforting me and Joshua Aaron singing give thanks, I returned to a calm state. I can remember the lyrics that were so helpful. He is the light unto the nations. He is our refuge in the storm. He is our peace in tribulation. He is our hope, the Holy One. Hodu le'Adonai ki tov, ki le'olam kasto. Hodu Adonai ki tov. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. He loves us forever. And I still get freaked out about all the scars on my chest when I look at them or I touch them. Some of the numbness that I feel, unusual bumps. But Amanda stated something profound to me that was very comforting. They are more than just scars. They are reminders for me and a testimony to others. When I see them or touch them, they will remind me of God's miracles. When I see them or touch them, they will remind me of how God loves me. When I see them or touch them, they will remind me of how much others love me. When people see them, it will be a testimony of God's love and that he does perform miracles today and every day. And also reminds me of the scripture in John 20:27. Then Yeshua said to Toma, "Put your finger here, look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Don't be lacking in trust, but have trust." Yeshua used his scars to show his miracle, that he loves us. And as I said earlier in the message, I'm going to repeat it because it's the heart of the message about It's a Wonderful Life. Yeshua tells us in Matthew 22:37-40 that you're to love Adonai your God with all your heart, your soul, and with all your strength. These are the two greatest commandments. And as a second is similar to it, you are to love your neighbor as yourself. And that all the Torah and the prophets are dependent upon these two mitzvot. We must understand and believe that these two commandments go both ways, in both directions. He loves us just as much as we love him. We are to love him with all our heart, soul, and strength, and he loves us with all his heart, soul, and strength without expecting to be loved in return. This applies to all people, not just those who believe in him or love him. He loves those who do not love him. So anyone that you know, or even if you believe you did something so bad that God will never love you or never forgive you, you are wrong. Who are you to determine what God can and cannot do? God determines that. He loves all of us. Whether you a drug dealer, took drugs, an alcoholic, whatever you may have done in your past, you repent and you turn to him because he loves you and he will redeem you no matter what. We have to love our neighbors as ourselves, and our neighbors are supposed to love us the same way as themselves without expecting love in return. Again, you know somebody that has done terrible things as a drug dealer or took drugs? You are supposed to love them regardless. If someone does Lashon Hara and gossips about you, you're supposed to love them. No matter what they do to you, you are supposed to love them. You are supposed to do what God called you to do. God did not show me how things would have been if I had never been born. He has blessed me with being able to see clearly how wonderful my life is because I was born. Even with all the trials, I will not curse God as Job's wife suggested that he do. In Romans 8:38-39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord." No, for me, it is a wonderful life, and I am here to be able to give you that message. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Amen and Hallelujah.